You're listening to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
International success coach and noted author Constance Arnold delivers life-changing strategies through her own spiritual practices, as well as with best-selling authors and experts that she interviews. Think, Believe, and Manifest is specially designed to empower your mind and words to work for you and to bring about a life you've been dreaming of. And now, here's Constance Arnold.
Well, everybody, hello and welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network. And of course, you know who I am, you better. I'm Constance Arnold, host of the Think, Believe, and Manifest talk show. So grateful, so thankful, so appreciative that you made a decision to join me today from all over the world. Guess what? I believe that the Spirit of God has attracted you here. I don't know what kind of week you've had this week, but I believe that you're going to receive exactly what you've been praying about, thinking about, searching for on the show today. Well, today, yours truly, I'm going to be talking to you about how to really identify and deal with the blocks that are trying to keep you from living your best life in 2023. I got to get used to saying that. And so I'm going to be teaching in part two, but in part one, I have somebody who's going to demonstrate that. You know, it's one thing for me to talk about it, but it's another thing for you to actually hear somebody's story or experience. So open up your heart, open up your spirit. And I'm going to introduce my very special guest. She's one of my clients. I got to call her doctor since she's on my show, Dr. Rosalind Washington, all the way from Texas. Y'all, for my international listeners, they say everything is big in Texas. And she has the courage to come on and just share her story. So, Rosalind, welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm excited about being here today.
So did you ever think you would be on my show when we first started coaching? Was that one of your dreams or your thoughts?
No, it was definitely one of the furthest things from my mind. I was just in a mess the first time I actually spoken with you. So I was just trying to find healing and finding my next step.
Okay.
When I first contacted you.
Well, I want you to share at the level that you feel comfortable. So for listeners, and if you're watching this, why am I doing this? To show you that it is your inner stuff, your untapped, unresolved stuff that is slowing down, hindering, trying to block your life in 2023. I always say we got two programs running. One is what we consciously want. Dr. Rosalind is very accomplished. She's a baller in her industry. She's an executive, all of that. But just in her personal life, like in mine, she said it was a hot mess. I'm not saying that, but that's what she said. So I want you to listen very carefully because most of you are operating on that second subconscious program that you don't even know is dictating your life. So Rosalind, why did you come to me for coaching?
I think one of the main things that really hit me was an event that had happened. It was a recent breakup, but in that breakup, it was more than that. I found myself for the first time ever in my life losing faith in God and his purpose for me, and it scared me.
Mm. Well, you know, a breakup just means that usually we've been doing the same kinds of things, making the same choices in relationships. And I know you were referred by a friend. And I think your friend told you, you better do what you got to do now before you get to Constance. So would you say that when you say your life was a mess and it had been a breakup, had most of your choices been the same in relationships? I'll let you share at the level that you're comfortable with.
Yes, and it was a cycle that I was in, and I would say like I had started to see not only in my relationships but just things around me. I had started to see little small things crumble, and I was responding and reacting outside of my norm. And so my friend that referred me, I just remember seeing the transition and the change in her. And I picked up the phone and I called her, and I was like, not that I need your permission, but I had that, and she's been my BFF for years. And I was very vulnerable with her, and I was like, I need Constance. I need someone to help guide me through whatever's going on in my life right now because I'm losing control. And so, yeah, that was one of the things. I just found myself in this continuous cycle of decisions that I was making that was now starting to not only impact my relational life, but also my personal life with my children. And I had started to kind of see hindrance or bits and pieces of it starting to chip away at my career. And being a single mom, I don't have that, luxury of, switching jobs and not working. So I was like, I need to do something. Something's shifting and I can't control it right now.
So you never choose any higher than how you see yourself. I'm talking to somebody right now, Roz. In relationships, what you view is what you do. And so Rosalind, just like I used to be, it takes one to know one, was choosing relationships that were beneath her, and it all started from her childhood. So talk about that. What is that true?
Yes, I would say, on the surface, I, never want to say that anyone is, that hierarchical of things, because they were great people, but they just weren't the right fit for me and where I felt like, and what I now know that what God has designed for me. And it just wasn't that right fit. Again, I had beautiful children, from those relationships, and some of them I didn't have. I had some relationships and, along the way, but they just weren't designed for what God had for me. And I found myself, to your point, being attracted to the same type of individuals because that's what I was comfortable with, not from where I needed to grow and where at the level that that God had, the trajectory that God has me on.
Well, and when you see yourself choosing the same thing with the career, with the job, with money, it's repeated behavior. We dealt with some stuff in her childhood. 'Cause see, when you get me, you get a counselor, a licensed therapist, and you get a coach. So the first thing I'm gonna do is dig through all of that stuff in your childhood that you're oblivious to, not blaming daddy, not blaming mama. So were you shocked that everything that came up from that counseling and how it had impacted your choices in relationships?
Yes, I just remember. I remember you telling me on the first session, make sure you bring plenty of clinics and just be ready. And I'll tell you that it was, leading up with the pre-assessment and everything, it was rough to digest everything that I had buried. There were things that I had buried that I didn't realize that was impacting me today. And I just remember. And I'm, sure my age or whatever, I don't care about that. But I just remember waking up after I had submitted the document to you saying, I am 45 years old and I don't know who I am. Like I'm meeting myself for the first time.
That's profound. Well, you know, that coaching assessment, I designed it so it will shake some people up. One man said, I started to drink a bottle of whiskey after I completed that, because it's real candid, it's probing, and it's asking you questions. Well, how did you feel when I told you, Rosalind, you got to get in a support group because the way this is going to roll is we are going to counsel and coach, but it's going to be coupled with support group. How did you feel about that? And how has the support group helped you once you did lean into it?
I was a little taken back at first. I'm like, okay, now that means that, because I remember you kept saying, you're going to have to do the work. You're going to have to do the work. And I'm like, okay, inner work, reading books and doing things like that. But then when you brought up the support group, and I was really uncomfortable at first because, it's going into these groups, it's being vulnerable in front of these groups, it's being there and like, oh, if they see me, and it's almost like a stamp of saying, you're broken. And I just had to get over that hurdle at first. But after the first two or three, I started to see that, I'm not the only one. And sometimes I think, we find ourselves comparing ourselves to other individuals in an opposite setting of the support group, right? So when you're comparing outside of the support group, it can be, intimidating. It can really cause self-esteem issues. But inside the support group, what I found was that everybody has a story. And while my story may not be as drastic as some, and then it may be drastic for others, but it's my story and it's my healing, it's my hurt. And I was able to express that in a way with those individuals and with the current individuals that I have that I have never been able to express before, because those are people that understand, they walk, through that. And, when you first said, I was like, it's almost like going to an AA meeting. And I'm like, I'm not in AA, because you never think that you're going to be there, right? And so, but I was hesitant. I just remember a couple of times, like that was the first thing that you would ask me. And I was like, oh no, I haven't been. And
It took
but
you a while to go.
it took me a while. But now I'm like, I'll have a situation that occur and I'll like, I need a meeting. And now I know like that's my community. That's, they help and they're there whenever I need them.
That's you said everybody. I felt like I was broken, really. For listeners and whoever watching this, she was really in the vibration of healing. So it's a shift. You don't have to say anything in the meetings. And so people are like, well, that's like an AA meeting. No, it's not like an AA meeting. Some of my clients I send to relationship support groups. What brought me healing was codependency and relationship groups coupled with my counseling that I was getting. And so it's a shift. And really, you have to put aside pride and shame. I felt you felt a little shame. I got it together over here in business. I'm this big executive, but over here, I'm working on some stuff. Am I right on that?
Oh yeah, I was very shameful. I was very, very shameful. And not only shameful, but I was unforgiving of myself. Like those choices that I had made in the past that I knew were wrong choices, I was had harbored those and held on to those and not really forgiven myself for them, but tried to work past or cover them up. So if I go and do X, Y, and Z, or if I get this degree, then they won't see and they'll forget about all of this that happened, and they'll make me and they'll put me in this light. And so what I was doing, I was just constantly bearing it, bearing it, bearing it down further, but never really addressing the core problem.
That's powerful. And so many people, man, you a baller on the outside. You got it going on. You got more degrees than a thermometer, and you're performing really high at work. But on the inside, there is a brokenness, there is unresolved stuff. And I want to say to anybody who's listening or watching, and to Rosalind, what she has done, she did the best she could with the knowledge that she had at the time. So really, she's given herself grace and forgiveness right now. Yeah, so a lot of stuff, a lot of yucky stuff came out of those meetings and out of counseling and coaching. Because when I first work with you, I'm counseling you first. Counseling deals with your past. So Rosalind and I and I are doing now more coaching, which makes it really, really good. So kind of tell me, what is your life like now? Tell us some, well, not, what are some things that we did besides the support group that I had you to do to sort of pull you out of your comfort zone? And what is your life like now?
So the first meeting that we had, you were like, no dating, no going out.
Now, did I,
No
you
dating.
know what?
No dating, no going out. Anybody that you are talking to, you were like, stop talking to them unless there's a need, like, your children's fathers, and unless there's something or whatever like that. But anyone on the side, and which wasn't hard for me, because I was like, I'm committed and I'm ready for this. And one of the things that you asked me was like, well, what are some current things that I was already doing? And since I had told you about the event, this, because I'm very spiritual, and that really shook my core about my faith. And you said, well, what you need to start doing is praying for more encounters with God, and how you encounter with God. So that was, the first two things that really stood out. And again, it was because, I still had friends that I would talk to while we weren't dating, but I was, keeping in touch or whatever. But those were that, and I took that to heart. And in our healing, and in some of our sessions, when we talked about some of the events and the brokenness, and a lot of them was from my childhood. While these weren't direct directives from you, but what I gained from that was a sense that I needed to not only stop dating and doing all that, but I took upon myself to start practicing abstinence from that moment.
And hold your thought. So, hey, y'all, when I told her no dating, I knew that she had focused a lot of her attention on love outside of her. And I knew if she continued to date, she would continue to choose the right man. I got to defend myself. But when you heal yourself and you have a healed soul, your choices and relationships will change. I did not tell her to become celibate. That came out of her own healing.
It did. It did. You didn't tell me that, but I'm glad I came to that choice. Because in our sessions, I realized that I didn't know what love was. And to be honest, I've cared about individuals really deeply, and I've had individuals to care about me deeply. But when we talk about the love that we were created in the image of God, and the intimacy and the full effect, I've never experienced that. So what I had was a facade of partial love and partial codependency.
Oh, you teaching now, okay.
I would meet someone and they would fit those open gaps where I needed to feel protected or to depend on them. And so it was an unhealthy attachment that I was having with the individuals. And so because I didn't know myself, I didn't know love. And so all of that was unfairly placed on them to fulfill me in that way.
That is so good. But I got to get my Kleenex now because I might start crying. So, during our last session, you said something that really made me cry. What was that? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I do, and I'm tearing up as you're saying it. Because of the journey that I've been on with you, and as I mentioned, I didn't know what love was. I realized I also had never loved myself. I had never forgiven myself for some of the things I've done in the past in order to really connect and to love myself. And it was, a lot of the things like I talk about, like with the spiritual and my encounters with God and getting to know God better and getting to know how He created us to love. And I first felt the love of God first. I remember one weekend, One week and I woke up and I was laying in my bed and oh my God, the sense of loneliness just came over me. But because I had the tools, I had my support group, I began to minister to myself. And I was like, okay, these are just the urges of this. This is not, you're never alone. You're never alone with God. So you're going to sit in this all weekend. You're not going to call anybody to try to go to the movies. You're not going to go try to depend on your kids to take, to spend time with you. You're going to sit in this. And I did, and I sit in it all weekend. And on that Sunday, I can't explain it, but I had a such a fulfillment of love for myself that I haven't felt a moment of that type of loneliness since then. I felt complete in going through that. And so what I learned is that I had never forgiven and loved myself totally and loved myself for who I am. Like God designed me for a purpose, and He loved me so much, so much. And throughout all the dysfunction and all the areas and all the opportunities that things could have been worse, that He loved me so much that He protected me through that. And so, because He loves me that much, I love myself, and I know that I know my self-worth from that.
Yeah. When she said to me, Constance, this is the first time I have loved myself. I said, we can drop the mic because man, what a powerful transformation. It has not been easy for her. She has, I've had to push her, but she's done the inner work, everything I asked her to do. She did it. Now I had to almost push her off the cliff to go to that support group, but once she found the right one, and so since her heart is healed, what is her heart, her past, her emotions, how she sees herself, her thinking, her view of herself, it's going to be organic that loving herself, loving her life, she will attract the right person. Can you see that now?
Oh, I can. I can. And there's been some individuals along the way. And because, it's almost like now the experiences, I stopped calling them tests, but the experiences, because, you go through all this healing and, you're doing the work. But if you're never exposed or have the experiences, it's like, okay, is it really working or not? And just not only in relationships, but just in my personal, life, I can see where, I think one of the biggest things that hit me as well is the impact that I had on my children. And after that assessment, and the first thing that I thought about was, oh my God, I have ruined my daughter. Unknowingly, I had passed on those traits to her, and I had made things unfair to her because of the state that I was in. And that was, part of, again. So now, and like in being in this, I'm like, well, okay, I may not have been the best mom, but I was a mom that did her best. And
Yeah,
so I
that's
carry
good.
that motto around with me, with my children, with my beautiful loving grandson that I have. And I try not to be the perfect mom, but I be the best that I can.
Yeah.
I have more grace for myself. So when I do meet individuals, and when you're talking about the attraction, I had a guy that come up to me and he was like, "You're not from around here, are you?" And I was like, "Well, yeah, like why would you?" He said, "Because there's a glow about you. There's something about you that," and this was like one of the second times maybe that I had, kind of branched out a little bit. Once I felt like I was ready,
She's ready. She's ready.
but again, and I thanked him for that. I thanked him for that compliment, but it was like I didn't owe him, conversation. I didn't owe him, oh, he gave me a compliment. Well, let me see what he's about, or he has this. Let me. I knew the moment that he walked up, he gave me the compliment that he gave me, but I knew that was it. Our interactions was for that, and so I didn't feel the need, because with that, I also found out I was a people pleaser.
Yeah, we did. And
And
she
so,
learned how to set boundaries, say no to friends and relatives. You know, she dealt with really stopped being overly responsible. So you've been just sort of transformed all around, right, Rosalind? If we're
Yeah,
telling the
that's what I
truth.
say. It was more than just relational. I didn't realize it, because, I know my heart, and that's the reason why I think in relationships, when they don't work, I think that's the reason why they were hitting me. It was hurting me so, because I know my heart, and I know, that because, I'm willing to do, and I put other people first. And I realize how, and to the point where sometimes I would think that putting boundaries were almost like I was being selfish. So if I told someone no, or if I put a boundary up, then that would be me being selfish.
When in fact, you're not saying no was really codependent and you were fixing, caretaking, and enabling. And Rosalind, she did the hard work, y'all. I mean, it was deep, but look at where you are now. Look at the benefits of where you are now. Are you happy? Are you peaceful? Are you expectant? I'm not trying to put no words in your mouth. You tell the listeners.
Yes, I'm very, I'm at, I have peace. I am, I'm ha I'm fulfilled. I would say I have joy is what I would describe it. That unspeakable joy. I have joy. One of the, I'm my father's caretaker. So there was things along the way, and I was also my mom's caretakers, my mom's caretaker, and my sisters, and would help, and nephews, and we all helped with her, but I was her primary caretaker as it relates to business and things or whatever of that nature. And so I've always, been in that caretaker, and so what I found was that that nurturing spirit was just across the board. So I remember my uncle, when my mom passed a few years ago, and it was an odd story, but he told me, he said, he works in construction and all of that, and he said, and I want to just share something with you. He said, when we design pipes and when we do things or whatever, to design pipes, there's only so much force that can go through pipes. And you have been that pipe. You have, he said, think of life as this, is that force that's going through, and God's never going to put too much on you, because you'll burst. But he said, don't look at your mom's death as being, a loss or anything, but look at it as being, and he said, and I'm not saying that your mom was, because he said you did great by your mom, and not saying that she was an obstacle, but God has allowed that to be removed. And so he said, now the gates are going to open up, and you're going to flow more than you've ever flown before, because you've done, what you were supposed to do with your mom. And so now I find myself in the same position with my father. And unlike, because I'm on this side of my healing and my journey now, I'm able to say that it's okay for me to, I don't have to be at his bedside every day. I don't have to do those types of things every day to still be a caretaker, to still love him, to still support for him. I can still find time for me.
And
And
have
not saying,
fun and live your life.
Yeah, and not saying that I was, bound to, because I don't want to miss the misperception there, but mentally, I would always like, okay, should I be doing this for my mom? Should I be doing that for my
I
mom?
get you.
both of my parents, they're in nursing facility. They were in nur My mom was in nursing, my dad was in a nursing facility, and that would bother me with her because, you always hear, like you never want to put your parents in a nursing facility when they get older. And so that was always in the back of my mind with my mom of should I have been doing something differently. But I was reminded that, she told me that she never wanted me to hold myself back because of her, because that would make her feel bad or basically take away from her. And
And you know,
so
well, thank you for sharing that simply because we know that there's a lot of people out there who might be caretakers right now, who might be feeling guilty and overwhelmed. But even in the midst of all of that, you need to practice extreme self-care, learn how to say no, call on some of them other siblings if you have them, step away, and have balance in your own life. So it was of God that you shared that portion of your journey. So,
So I would say that, the back to the question that you asked me, I know I kind of derailed a little bit, but
that's
joy,
okay.
that's what I feel is joy. I feel happiness and joy.
And you're ready. You're ready for a relationship. So let's talk about the investment. Was the in financial investment worth it? What, the ROI, the re have you received the ROI, the return
My
on your
return on my
investment?
investment, yes, ma'am, I have plus some.
What would you say to somebody who's thinking about it? Because I know you saw your, we'll call her name, Tawana's transformation, and you were like, boy, she's changed. And people have, you told me that people have said to you, you've changed. What would you say to somebody who's thinking about it?
I would say, if you're truly ready to do the work, I would say it's the best investment that I could have done for myself. I go to spas all the time and you hear, oh, let me go get a massage. I'm tensed, I'm this and I'm that. And, if I think about all the time that I've done things or whatever like that and spent money on vacations or spas or just trying to do the stress relief, it's the same type of investment, but with long lasting impact. Like I'm a healthier person because of my coaching. I am,
I didn't
and it's
know
nothing
that.
it's nothing that I'm proud to say, but one of the things that I picked up after my divorce was smoking. I knew I didn't want to drink because, I have a strong family history of drinking, and so I didn't want to go down that path. And of course, I didn't want to do, drugs or illicit drugs. And so I would, pick up a cigar here and there and start going to like the cigar bars with a couple of my friends. And so it then turned into a habit of smoking. And so I am, over a year now of smoke free. I am I just, and these things start to happen naturally. It's not like I, because
Organically.
I am a better person, because I have joy, because I have all of this, I'm like, well, okay, well, what is my next step? And what do I want to do to help, because I want to be vibrant and have, more time to spend with my grandson. And so, I'm down a few pounds, not from a diet. Well, I can't say I'm watching what I'm eating. I won't throw anything about what I'm actually doing, but I'm down a few pounds and I just feel a lot better, and it's because I do it day by day. So when I started to stop smoking, it wasn't like, oh, I'm going to stop smoking tomorrow. It's going to be, like one day at a time, until when I turned around, it was like 6 months. And then, I'm well over a year now.
Well, it's called self-love. And when she healed her, when as she's healing her soul, healing her past, as we delve through stuff and get rid of all that debris, she begins to see who she is, and then she begins to care for herself. So organically, she wanted to eat better because she loves Rosalind now. You know, physically, she wanted to stop drinking. And so, those are just the fringe benefits of really healing your soul, getting counseling and coaching, and going to a support group if I ask you to. So happy for you. So
Thank
happy
you.
for you. So proud of you. Got anything else you want to say before you said that? So you heard what she said. If you're interested in working with me, I'm a master coach, not bragging, just the truth. Master counselor. If you're ready to do the work, if you spend all of this money on the outside traveling all over the world buying your Gucci bag, ain't nothing wrong with Gucci. I got one. Ain't nothing wrong with a Versace. I wear Versace glasses. Ain't nothing wrong with the Louis Vuitton. But you haven't invested in your own soul. Let's do a discovery call. And I tell people, only if you're serious. I mean, you know I'm rather no nonsense, right, Rosalind? You know,
Yes.
are we gonna do this doggone thing or what? Let's do a discovery call. Email me at constance@fulfillingyourpurpose.com. I have a guarantee. If you work with me for a year, parentheses, and you do the inner work, you would not recognize your life at the end of the year. Look at Rosalind. She's showing out. She ain't smoking. She's ready for love. She's impacting her daughter, her grandson. She is saying no to relationships that do not align with who she knows she is. She's having encounters with God. Man, she's smiling. She got a glow. She can't even walk nowhere without somebody saying, "Where are you from?" And that ain't a lie. That's just the truth. Because once you get healed, people pick up on that. What would be your last words to listeners, Rosalind?
Wow, that's a loaded question. What I would say to listeners is that, no matter what has happened in your past, no matter what your current state is, that one of the most impactful things that you told me when we first met during our discovery call was that we were designed to be in relations and we were designed to love and we
We're
were
wired
designed
for
to
it.
be wired for it. And so if you are, if listeners are feeling that way, it's there. It's a possibility. And I'm not trying to say that I have it all figured out, that I'm, it's a day by day process, but through dealing with Constance for the last year, I have tools in my, I'm healed from the inside, so it allows me to handle those things that when they do occur, I don't go back to that cycle on the wheel. I'm able to handle those things better because life will continue to happen.
Wow, so powerful. Thank you, Rosalind. So happy for you. Everybody, I'm going to be back and I'm just going to do a quick teaching on how you can identify, begin to heal, and deal with your stuff. You know, I always say if you don't deal with your stuff going to deal with you. I'll be right back. Thank you, Rosalind.
Thank
Are
you.
you feeling stuck? Are you ready to live a life beyond your wildest dream? Constance Arnold is a seasoned and experienced professional licensed counselor for 25 years and a certified success life coach and would love to partner with you to create your dreams. She's coached and trained over 10,000 clients on five continents and has a proven track record of success. Constance will assist you in getting a clear vision for your life and develop customized strategies, projects, and action steps to begin manifesting your dream. Contact her today at constance@fulfillingyourpurpose.com and visit her website at fulfillingyourpurpose.com.
Well, everybody, I am back. And wasn't that just amazing? That wonderful transformational story journey with Dr. Rosalind. So let me help you out. Something else I want to remind you is that somebody sent me an email, and I would love for you to attend a VIP day with me here in Atlanta or virtually. So it's going to look like this. If you fly into the ATL, you're going to be in luxury because we're going to be at Eagles Landing Country Club. I'm going to bring you a wonderful breakfast and we're going to be together really taking a deep-seated look at where you are, what's been holding you back. It's intense, y'all. And then we go out. I'll take you downstairs to the beautiful restaurant on the golf course, and we'll have lunch. And then we will spend the remainder of the day step by step working out a plan for your life in 2023. So that is an experience. You know, it's something very different about coming together in person, or we could do the same thing virtually. So if you're interested in a VIP, email me and let's talk about it. So I want to talk about blocks that have been hindering your manifestation. We know that it's not God. And you know, being a therapist, sometimes I hear people say, I don't want to talk about my past. I don't want to talk about my past, Constance. I want to be into the law of attraction. You know, I get that, you know, and I believe in that. But what I'm going to say to you is, just like Rosalind, she did not understand that what has been deposited in her DNA is directing 90 to 95% of her life. Taking a sip of tea. So this is the deal. We grow up in families. We have family systems according to how we live. You know, supposed to have a loving mom and dad. And so when you don't have that, you miss something. I just had somebody this week say to me that they were really believing for love. I said, okay. But then she said to me, I don't really trust men. And I said, well, if you're believing for love and that is your intention, but your core belief is that you don't trust men, how is love going to find you? And what we found out, she's a client of mine. She's allowed me to share this. She said, Miss Constance, please share this with other people, is that she heard her mama say, you can't trust men. You know, and she saw her mom doing a lot of stuff with men. And so as a little girl, she guarded her heart and she feels like that you can't really trust men. You can't be all the way in. So can you see the paradox there? She wants love, but she don't trust men. Where does that come from? That comes from that family system. So you grow up in a home and there are family systems in place that you don't even know about. For example, don't talk. You know, you're not supposed to feel that. Why are you feeling that? That you don't talk about your problems, that you don't trust people. Have you ever heard anybody say, honey, what goes on in this house stays in this house? You grow up where there's a lot of you grow up where there's a lot of secrets. So when you grow up, you're closed. Any unresolved stuff. I was working with children who have been adopted, and how they did a study that children who have been adopted, really many times, I didn't say everybody, many times in their adult life have abandonment issues. So in relationships, they don't trust and they do not really allow themselves to feel. They don't want to get too close too soon, because if mama and daddy abandon me, how can I ever trust anyone else? I've heard military families, you know, families that move all over, they say, well, you know, you don't want to get too close to people because we're going to be moving in a couple of months. So what happens is you grow up with what I call frozen feelings. And frozen feelings would be stuff that has happened to you that's frozen. You're stuck in it. And so in your adult life, when you are trying to manifest success, those frozen feelings are beliefs that are housed in your subconscious mind really rule and direct your life. So can you see how it is really important that you really deal with your stuff? All right. So some other family systems. So let me go back to frozen feelings. So frozen feelings mean you don't know all that stuff is there, like Dr. Rosalind did not know, but you keep making the same choice. So my question to you is, does the same thing keep happening to you in relationships where you turn out to be sometimes a victim? Poor me. This always happens to me. I'm always there for other people, but they aren't there for me. Do you keep choosing emotionally unavailable people? You know what an emotionally unavailable person is? They aren't there for you. So frozen feeling is anything, a divorce that you went through 20 years ago. You still hurt, still feel betrayed, still feel whatever. And that is frozen in you. You don't know it, but you're making choices from an unhealed soul. And so some of the other characteristics of family system, which I don't have the time to get into, no boundaries. You don't know how to say no to people. Oh, Miss Constance, I don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. You know, overly responsible for other folk. Poor communication skills. You know, you don't want to really tell people how you feel. You might have a feeling of not being important or worthy. You know, one of the main issues that most people deal with in family systems would be, who I am is not enough. I am unlovable, undeserving, and who I am is not enough. That was something that I had to work through. So in adult life, I need to do a whole show on this. So in adult life, it shows up like there are four characters. I've taught on this before. When you grow up in a family system, and it's the hero child, the mascot, the lost child, and the caretaker. So the hero child, that was me. You know, usually the oldest person, high functioning, very successful. You know, everybody looks at them and say, oh my God, I want to be just like them. But underneath, I was a very insecure. I felt like I had to be performance based, etc., instead of who I am is enough. My whole life, while my father was living, I needed to get straight A's, be smart, finish grad school, make a lot of money, because unbeknownst to my dad, I was the hero in the family. So it was only when I healed that I allowed myself to have grace. So the mascot in the family is kind of like the Joker. You know, they hide their feelings. They don't really talk. And they, you know, when you see them, they look like, hey, man, they are the life of the party. But really, underneath, they have unresolved issues. The lost child is the quiet person. You don't know what's going on with them. And they don't talk a lot. They may read a lot. They may be isolated. You never know what's happening in their lives. And this particular family role has the highest rate for suicide. You know, and so on. And then we have the caretaker, who attempts to keep everybody happy, keep the family together. So when they grow up, they focus in on the needs of other folk instead of their own. Well, that's just a couple, but I wanted to share those so you can see you really need to heal those areas in your life so that you can set great intentions and pull away the blocks that may be hindering you. And a lot of times in these family systems, when you got to hold in, when you choose to hold in stuff for decades, you medicate your feelings with alcohol, drug use, shopping, eating. It's going to come out some kind of way. And so I'm going to say to you, really be honest and take a look at your childhood. What was your mother like? What was your father like? What were some of the family systems? What were some of the rules? And how are you still walking that out right now? So it doesn't mean that you have to stay in your past. There are so many support groups going on, 12 steps, relationships, Overeaters Anonymous. You know, even when it comes to work, because if you do not deal with these things, the 5%, which is what we all consciously desire, your conscious mind, which says, in 2023, I am going to ABC. And you may be really strong with it, but what we're doing is we're going to identify what this stuff is, and then we're going to heal so that we can be 100% energetically focused in on what we want. So can you see how I use Dr. Roslyn, that in her personal life, because those issues were unbeknown to her, housed in her subconscious mind, she wasn't 100% focused on relationships. It was diluted. So the whole purpose of this is to show you we all have blocks. We all got stuff. We all got paradigms. What is a paradigm? Everything that's ever happened to you, your past experiences, your consciousness, all of the above. We have all of that. And so, like the great late Bob Proctor says, until you shift and change your paradigm, the same thing is going to happen. Dr. Joe Dispenza says that when we get up every day, we get up with 90% of the same feelings, the same thoughts, and the same emotions, expecting a different result. So it is only when you change your feelings, your thoughts, your emotions, and your experience that you can wildly live your best life. So all of you guys know my story. You know that for a year, I was in counseling and I went to a support group every Monday and every Thursday. Back in the day, we went in person. But you can go online. The greatest gift that you could give yourself would be the healing of your inner child, the healing of your soul. And so many people, I work with a lot of famous rich people, and even though they may have everything that they have, that stuff still is going to come up. So this year, I would really love it if you would make your number one intention to be to deal with your stuff, to get in a share group, to get in a support group, to admit, acknowledge. One of the characteristics in a lot of family systems is denial. I hear a lot of people say, I just can't remember what happened. Because the feelings have been so pressed down that they're sort of in denial about what really happened in their lives. So I hope that this has helped you. I know it's a little different, but I'm just telling you what I see every day, what I hear every day, what people are saying on different platforms, that once you heal your soul, once you change your paradigm, once you change your consciousness, because your consciousness is your reality and creates your reality, that's when you would be living your best life. Y'all, if you're interested in working with me, email me, Constance at fulfillingyourpurpose.com. I want you to listen to this over and over again. Ask the spirit to show you some things. Be open, research about family systems just to see where you are. Well, everybody, this has been a great show. I want you to share this with at least five people that you know. And I will be back with you again next week and make a decision to have a great week. And I love you.
Thank you for listening to Think, Believe, and Manifest. Constance Arnold will be back next week with another great show just for you. For more information, please visit fulfillingyourpurpose.com.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.